about some technical issues. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Story of our life. Anyway.
Hey, nobody said life was perfect.
Well, hopefully you at home can hear us. Just unfortunately, you won't be able to, if you're missing the show, you won't be able to go to the archives and hear it tomorrow or the next day or whenever you listen to it.
All right. So far, so good. You don't have to say that. They just missed the first half hour.
Okay, good. All right. So here we go. All right. So here's something else that I saw about this whole pandemic thing. What blood type are you guys? Do you know? It's important. You should know.
It is. I I should know that, and I do know that.
You should. Look on your dog tags.
I can't. Yeah, I can't think of it right now. Okay. I'm having short term memory loss.
Okay. Well, you might
Uh-oh.
Have it then.
You might have it.
Yeah. Steph, what's your blood type?
I am one of those weird AB people.
Okay. Well, guess what? You being an A person, that means you're more susceptible to the coronavirus.
It does, which is why I spend way more time in the house than I probably mentally should.
It says type A blood is 50% more likely to need oxygen or require a ventilator if you come down with the coronavirus.
But I'm AB. I'm not A.
Oh, so you're hoping that the B saves you.
When I looked at the statistics.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you're AB or AB?
I am AB.
Like a bzzz. In which case, you'd probably never get the coronavirus. You'd just be making honey.
Look, when I saw that story, and they singled out the A blood type, then look at the B and look at the AB.
Yeah,
because they didn't talk about, they were like, oh, if you're an O, you're okay.
That's right.
But if you've got an A, now, you're a higher risk.
I'm okay, and I'm positive about it. Yes. Because I'm O positive.
You know, but then they went into the Bs and the ABs, and statistically, there are fewer of us.
Is it? I mean, are our kids going to be messed up because I'm like O positive and you're AB?
Right.
Positive.
What have you done to our children?
I do believe Hannah is O positive.
Oh, good.
I am not quite as sure about.
Oh, we can look at Ty and tell Ty. He's irregular. We bought him at Ross.
No, we didn't.
Just kidding. It says here people with type O blood are between 9% and 18% less likely to have tested for the disease.
That's not enough.
Tested positive for the disease.
People that have no blood will not get the disease at all.
Right. They just automatically become zombies. Mm-hmm.
They already are zombies.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Craig, what do you know about this? Okay, so I've been calling this this big dust cloud from the Saharas.
Yeah.
Or the big gorilla. It's actually Godzilla. It's not the gorilla cloud. It's the Godzilla cloud.
Godzilla.
I thought Godzilla came from Japan, not Africa.
So anyway, folks, we have
Am
this.
Am I confused?
This, especially here down in Florida, and I guess all along the Gulf Coast states, we've got this giant Saharan Godzilla, huge dust cloud heading our way.
They are making such a big deal out of this.
Well, that's what we do these days. We make a big deal about, you know, about
everything.
Oh,
my gosh.
And let's just throw some fire, some gas on the fire of our pandemic and our riots and all that other stuff.
And the coming apocalypse.
Like, we don't have enough to worry about. Let's worry about this dust storm.
I'm thinking this is going to help with some of the beach erosion, right? I mean, everybody needs a little Saharan sand raining down on them.
All of a sudden, we're going to wake up tomorrow as this Godzilla cloud passes by. We're going to have sand dunes and camels on our beaches.
Yes, that would be awesome, wouldn't it?
Well, I also...
People in turbans.
I also question...
They got sucked up with it.
And cobras. snake charmers.
That'd be awesome. Maybe a pyramid would drop down.
Yeah, right?
I also question if they aren't making such a big deal about the...
As a distraction.
to encourage people to wear masks.
Okay. All right.
Because the people that don't want to wear masks because of the virus don't think it's real. But if they can see this big sandstorm headed our way,
well, it does sound kind
what
of
are they going to do but cover their face?
And I'm sorry, folks. Every year there is dust from the Sahara that comes across. Yes, it is a little bit large this time.
This is supposedly the biggest one in 50 years, yeah, Craig.
It happens every
year. Don't downplay it.
It happens every year.
I think Trump's behind this.
It could be.
He had some large fans installed on the desert floor. I'm blowing this up. We got some good people working on it.
We're
going
to get these people back to work. They're going to forget all about the COVID-19.
Because
now they
got
to worry about
storm.
Now they got to worry about cobras on the beach.
Yep.
The sand, the dust does not have cobras in it that I am aware of.
You don't know.
Of.
Didn't you see Wizard of Oz? There was all kinds of stuff flying around in that thing.
What about Sharknado?
Sharknado, right. It says that this cloud is about 3,500 miles long and is as high as 20,000 feet high. But from as high as it is, 20,000 feet, it drops all the way down to the ground like a big curtain.
Oh.
So that's pretty impressive.
It makes
impressive.
For some beautiful sunsets.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. So I'm kind of anxious. After the show, we ought to boogie on outside to see if we can catch a good sunset.
Yeah,
I saw a picture in the paper. As a matter of fact, here's a picture in the paper. It looks like an explosion, but it's actually a beautiful sunset. Very rosy, peach-colored
Love the
clouds.
Reflection imagery on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like the fact that Mark says that an explosion makes for a beautiful sunset.
Have you ever seen a mushroom cloud?
Only on TV.
I sure love the smell of
napalm in the morning.
Right? Yeah. anyway, some of the health risks, I guess. I mean, if you're worried about COVID already, if you are somebody with some sort of a breathing disorder, definitely if you're not wearing your mask now because of COVID-19, you might want to put it on. They're not saying that this dust cloud is going to cause any real problem for people, but, you know, it might.
It could.
So if you are wearing a mask, keep wearing it. If you're not, then put it on anyway.
Well, and that's my theory of the big story about the big dust cloud.
Now, one of the things I like about this big dust cloud is they're saying that it could possibly deter or even postpone some of our more major storms that we have here in this area. The only problem is it's not going to be here through the entire storm season.
And they never are.
Right.
You know, this happens every year, as Craig pointed out. And what I saw today, water temperatures in the Gulf are 90 degrees.
Warm.
My buddy Ruben.
Warm.
My buddy Ruben just sent me a picture on my text, and it's of a sunset from 2 days ago, and it's actually quite beautiful. Here, hold on. Look at
yeah.
That doesn't even look real. I mean, come on. I think he painted that.
No, that's beautiful.
Isn't that beautiful?
In fact,
I wish they were always like that.
Last Saturday,
Let's
we
go
got
Sahara.
Some pretty good sunset pictures. I don't think we were
that's
fully,
absolutely beautiful. That
fully
was,
immersed in it yet.
Can you pass that to her? That is unbelievable. That doesn't even look real. Beautiful.
Well,
thanks, Ruben.
Thank you, Ruben.
Yeah, that's even better than the one that was in the paper.
We should go see a sunset.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's on our list of things.
I mean, if they look like that, I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want that to be permanent?
Yeah, I mean, I think we should just, you know, JD was always worried about contrails. Why don't we just get some sand trails up there?
Mm-hmm. Right.
If that's all it takes is...
Just bait the atmosphere. You can just do it right over the beach.
Yep.
You know, out there about a mile or two, you know, so you get a cool effect.
I'm
going to
look at this a little bit closer.
Sunset.
I think I do see a cobra.
Maybe could
be a cobra.
Ashes being thrown into the sunset. A mile
ashy.
Off. Cough. No? Okay.
God, she always comes up with the worst thing.
I'm just saying.
Anyways, so
I mean,
that.
if we want to add some disturbance to the sunset to make it more vivid.
Right.
I've got another idea for this coronavirus thing.
Okay.
I know this is going to sound like the prototype version would be weird, right? But kind of like a space suit, but not really, but it's like a personal atmospheric regulation unit, right?
Mm-hmm. I think they call those condoms.
Yeah, but this would be smart, right? It could
a smart condom.
It could have climate control.
Aren't all condoms smart?
But, you know, if you made it right, it could be like, you know, like a backpacky type thing the helmet, and even has gloves or something.
Was like temperature controlled, like on a day like today.
And maybe you could develop some kind of adapter on it that bars could have too, where you hook a beer up to it and you can drink the beer through.
Absolutely.
It, you know?
Well, I mean,
love it.
What are you going to do about like the people that like to go out and go on a walk and take their shirt off to get some sun? I mean, are you going to make it see through?
It just needs to cover your head.
Oh, I thought you were talking about your whole body.
Maybe this is the government's way or SpaceX's way to start to get people ready for life on Mars and other planets, right? Because with all this social distancing,
toxic.
It's like they've been wanting recruits that would be okay to be in isolation for a long period of time. Maybe you're now starting to convert the population into being okay with that. Maybe there's something else.
Craig,
conspiracy theory.
You are probably not the only one that is having that thought. I'm sure that there are a lot of people out there thinking that all of this is a big
change the youth
government conspiracy. And you know what? Maybe someday we'll find out that it is all a big government conspiracy. And then the people that don't believe in conspiracies will have egg on their face. And everybody that always believed in the conspiracy will be like, ha, told ya. Well, you should have stuck with me.
It's but like that.
I sounded
ultra-rich.
Like a crackpot, but I really wasn't.
Yeah, it's like that ultra-rich one-world government type of stuff that's out there.
Well,
really weird.
You know, in these days, and I have to kind of I don't want to say thank our president, but with all of his claims of fake news and things like that, as much as you try to say that no, that's not fake news. When you have a good attorney and you are the defendant, and that attorney puts that just that little hint of doubt. You know what I mean? That's all it takes to sometimes sway a jury. You know, so by Trump continually saying that everything is fake news, you can go against that as much as you want. But I think there's a little bit of in the back of your mind, it's like, well, what if he's right? What if it is all fake news? You know,
and we're getting such conflicting messages.
Right.
You know, it's going away. Don't wear a mask. Wear a mask. I'm not wearing a mask. I don't need to wear a mask.
Man, pardon my French, man, but I mean, over the last, like, I don't know.
Don't you dare cuss on this show.
Well, it's like the pussification of the planet, right?
Yeah, I gotcha.
I mean, it doesn't matter what it is now. Everybody's so insensitive to everything.
Absolutely.
Did you hear they're going to change? They're thinking about changing the national anthem. Because Scott Key, Francis Scott Key, owned slaves.
Who didn't own
slaves? Right. So now they're going to change the national anthem. I mean, not only Aunt Jemima, not the Dixie Chicks just dropped Dixie. Now they're just the Chicks. I'm not kidding.
Okay, so what about
Lady Antebellum is just Lady A.
What about the Dixie Cup?
Yeah, it's just going to be Cup.
Well, but the Dixie Cup is the little small cup.
Yeah, Winn-Dixie. It's just going to be Winn. Actually, Winn-Dixie is actually considering changing their name.
They are. But the Dixie Cup, to me, being a very small person, I always took the word Dixie Cup as the little cup.
Yeah.
Not, you know, the white racist cup.
Oh, I don't know what you weren't seeing because it's clearly the little white racist cup.
We should rename it the Napoleon Cup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Perfect.
Something.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Where does it end?
I don't know where it ends.
What all are we giving up of our heritage, of our understanding, all the progress that we've made?
You don't want to forget the learnings of the past.
Hey, did
no.
you?
No.
Did you see
history
this meme?
History will repeat itself.
And it It is.
And it is.
And it does.
Did you guys see the meme? This is going to be like the meme of the week as far as I'm concerned. It's basically a dad holding out a cookie to a toddler. And the dad says to the toddler, he says, "What are the magic words to get what you want?" And the little toddler goes, "I'm offended." I think that's great.
That's so true in mm-hmm. today's society.
Yeah.
I have seen some hilarious stuff by this. I can't remember the content, but somebody posted a picture or a GIF or something on social media the other day. And nothing to do with any of this. Let's just say for the sake of this, it was like a cute like dog video, right?
Right.
Well, the first comment in there is, "This is racist."
Yeah.
And, you know, several people, like, laughed at it, but I'm like, that's pretty much how it is right now.
Everybody's yeah. so sensitive.
And you can't say anything.
No, you really do have to watch what you say and who you say it to, because it's crazy. Somebody will, you know, I mean, there are people losing their jobs for minor comments, you know, in a group setting. You know, right. Somebody gets their feelings hurt, goes to HR, now all of a sudden you're out of a job. You know.
It's the mob. The mob mentality is winning right now. Look at like all these comedians that their entire background is getting canvassed. Have they ever done jokes that incorporated
blackface.
Black people? Or, yeah. Or anything blackface. Like that, right?
Yeah, I had blackface on 30 years ago.
Or any actor that played in any movie that might have been about that period. I mean, God forbid they go look at the cast of like A Color Purple or anything like that.
Well,
right?
One of the things, okay, so we talked about, I think it was last week, that they were going to change the name of Aunt Jemima Syrup. Well, Aunt Jemima's relatives are coming out going, "Don't you dare steal our history."
The ladies,
woman was proud of being Aunt Jemima. Apparently, there were two different women that portrayed Aunt Jemima.
That portrayed them.
And they actually had jobs. They were actually hired by like Quaker Oats to go around the country and do exhibitions where they would cook pancakes for like a bunch of people. Yeah. And they loved it. Now all of a sudden they're going to
a meme with a Quaker Oats guy and Aunt Jemima in bed last week and said, "Can't we just get along?"
Right. Yeah. Well, shouldn't the Quaker Oat guy go away too?
What about Cracker Jacks?
Cracker Jacks.
Cracker.
Colonel Sanders. Who the hell is Dr. Pepper?
Mm-hmm. Got to watch him.
I'm a pepper. You're a pepper.
Right.
Wouldn't you like to be a pepper too?
Yeah.
Okay. So this one relative of one of the Aunt Jemima says, "This is an injustice for me and my family. This is part of my history." This is from the great grandson of one of the Aunt Jemimas. It says, "The racism they talk about using images from slavery, that comes from the other side, white people. The company profits off images of our slavery, and their answer is to erase my greatest grandmother's history. Black female. It hurts."
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're going to erase her now because, oh boy.
Stirring it up.
Hello, caller. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Pastor James calling.
Oh, Pastor James,
I've called in a couple of times into your show, and I enjoy your show. I got nothing to do on Friday night. There's no prayer meetings. There's no nothing like that. So I just kind of hang out and... Right. Listen to all this jive that you guys are talking about all the time. You know?
Is my mic off?
There you go.
Do you consider what we're saying to be more jive than... I don't want to say that we're factual. I would never claim to be a factual show. But, I mean, is it that far off that it would be considered jive?
No, it's not that far off. I just use that term when I'm thinking of people that are just trying to think of something to say. Mm-hmm. When they don't know what they're saying, that's all. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway,
okay.
What you were talking about earlier, there's a couple things I want to say about
the basement. Okay.
Are you going on to a break?
We do have to here in just like a minute.
All right, let me get back to you then. I'll call you back.
All right, that sounds good. Well, okay, please do call back. All right.
You got it.
All right. Okay, well, that was Pastor James. Unfortunately, we didn't have enough time. Hopefully, he will call back in because he's always interesting. He always has, something good to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, I can't believe we're already at the end of our first hour, folks. We are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. We have some promos to play.
Yes.
And then we also have a song to play. Let me kind of speed this up a little bit and go ahead and start playing the promos. We'll stop between the promos, introduce the song, and then after that, we'll come back and let's talk about your worst school project.
Ah.
All right, everybody, here's the first promo.
This is folk singer Janice Ian. I rocked the music world and the civil rights movement with a song called Society's Child. I moved a generation of women to tears with my hit at 17, and I spoke for the loss of war with my song Jesse. Apparently, I continue to be one of the most outspoken songwriters working today, thanks to Michael Jonathan. It's a full hour with me on this week's broadcast of The Woods
Songs of
Night at 8 on Radio St. Pete.
Hey, it's Rob Reinhart, your host for Acoustic Cafe. Next time on the show, we'll have brand new music from Leon Bridges and Phoebe Bridgers. We also have a brand new album from Ray LaMontagne we have to dip into. The DB's core duo, they have revisited their older material in acoustic form, and our in-studio guest will be Brandi Clark. That and more next time on Acoustic Cafe.
Acoustic Cafe, Friday night at 9, Sunday at 3 on Radio St. Pete.
Hi, Michael Park here to let you know that the next edition of the International Americana Music Show is going to be the best of January to June edition of the program, when I fill the playlist with songs from what I think have been among the best non-American Americana albums released in the first 6 months of this year. So tune in if you can at the usual time to a select edition of the International Americana Music Show.
Tonight at 11 on Radio St. Pete.
This is Country Fastball.
It's Music City, but Nashville's very much emerging as a baseball city. Ask Sonny Gray from the Cincinnati Reds.
We work out at Vanderbilt, and there's 10 to 15 guys a day there in pro ball, and there's probably, six or seven that are actually in the big leagues. It's a great city, so everyone comes back for that.
And new music from Gabby Barrett and Kanan Smith this week on Country Fastball.
Country Fastball, Saturday morning at 9 on Radio St. Pete.
Here's what's coming up next. Greatest Hits USA.
Hey, this is Chuck Matthews on Greatest Hits USA. And coming up this weekend, we're going to answer the following questions. Who wrote a song about a stripper? What artist answered an ad in the newspaper? And who had the number one record this week in 1972? So turn it up this weekend right here.
Greatest Hits USA.
Greatest Hits USA, Saturday night at 6 on Radio St. Pete.
All right, folks, those are the shows to stay tuned for right here on RadioSaintPete.com, starting this evening at 8 o'clock right after our song, our show. I'm going to play a song. This is our halfway song. It's called Up the Line, and it's by my man, Damon Fowler. I hope you dig it because I really do. We'll be right back.
Line.
is gonna drive me out of my mind. Well, all right.
Damon Fowler, everybody. That's my man, Damon Fowler. I love that song. Steph, I think what's interesting is that we've seen Damon a bunch of times live, and I have quite a collection of his songs, you know, in my library here. And I definitely have some of my favorite songs. But since we haven't been able to see him live over the last couple of months, I've started looking closer at his whole library of songs. And I went through and I was like, you know what? That's one I've never played on the show, this Up the Line. We've heard him play it live, but usually a lot of times when we've seen him play live, it's just him without a band. You know, so this is a whole different, you know, this song sounds completely different with a band as opposed to just him. And this might be my new favorite Damon Fowler song.
Could be. Need to put together.
I love Fruit Stand Lady, though.
You need to put together your favorite.
Sugar Lee.
No, all of them.
Yeah.
All of them. And get him to do one of his Facebook Live shows.
Right.
And we'll sponsor.
I don't think he's doing those shows anymore now that now he might have to go right back to it if the bars are going to be pretty much closed.
Right. And Brand New Baby.
Right.
So if we sponsor the show, would he play your set list?
Oh, how about that?
How about that?
You know, something interesting about music and the COVID stuff. I read an article last week about streaming music. And since COVID's hit, streaming music is like dropped way down.
Really?
The only genre which is up is country music.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the analytics show. The streaming of country music has gone up, but pretty much every other genre of music, it's declined big time.
Okay,
and I don't know what the correlation is.
This is why. Okay, this is why country music has gone up, is because, before I say this, are you a big fan of country music?
I'm not a huge fan, but I don't hate it. There's music in that genre that I like.
I think, okay, people decided that they were going to be, since they were, you know, quarantined, locked in their house by themselves, that they would actually be brave enough to listen to country music because they wouldn't be caught dead outside around their friends listening to country music.
Right.
And they didn't want to.
No, listen, I've heard some country music that I really do like.
They didn't want to download it.
Are you an old school country music?
And have it show up in their archives.
Me too.
Yeah, I like me some Merle Haggard.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Big Merle Haggard fan.
I mean, today, I mean, basically country music is like, you know, country pop, country rock. But the true old roots of country music, some of those, I mean, some of those old voices from the past are just unbelievable.
Yeah, I even love me some Jerry Reed, too.
Yeah, right.
Great music, man.
Yep.
Good stuff.
There's stuff to love in all of it.
He didn't just drive a semi. I mean,
Chet Atkins, another amazing.
Early rap was even very fun.
Yeah. There's some, I mean, one thing I realize about music, in every genre, there's really good music and there's really bad music.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
They all touch each side of the spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I never say I just hate a genre of music that's like somebody tell me they don't like seafood at all.
Right.
I'm like, really? There's so many options. Well, how could you not like something?
What I've always said about music is, so you might not like a particular song or a particular genre on the radio, okay? But if you ever get a chance to go see a genre of music that you're not really into live, a live performance of anything.
Agree, 100%.
Usually, here we go. Hello, caller. This is the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Who are we speaking with?
Once again, I'm calling in. This is Pastor James. Oh, I talked to you earlier.
Thank God. Okay. How are you, Pastor James?
What do you mean, thank God?
Well, it's always good to thank God.
Well, of course.
I've been told that.
And it's funny you say that to a pastor, you know. That's wonderful for you to even think about God at a time like this.
I've had people tell me that they were going to pray for me, so I guess it's my duty to at least thank God.
You got it. Okay. Well, you know, you were just talking about country music.
Yes.
And one of the greatest country music people was Charlie Pride. Do you know about Charlie Pride?
Absolutely.
You might be too young to know about Charlie Pride, but he was a black man.
He was?
I don't know if he's still alive, to tell you the truth. Oh. But he was a black man that was playing country music. Right. Do you know anything about him?
I don't. I don't. I know of the name Charlie Pride. I am not familiar with his music. I'm sure that if I heard one of his songs, I would probably be able to recognize it.
He was definitely a black man.
He was a good musician. So, man. Robert Johnson, too. That's some good stuff.
That's going back to blues and everything. You were talking about country music. Well, Robert Johnson was kind of like blues and the old style and everything. But I understand what you're saying, Craig. Craig, that's right?
That's right.
Am I right?
You are exactly right.
Yeah. So I just want to tell you all that, first of all, I enjoy your show.
Oh, good.
I want to tell you an interesting thing about that I heard about the people wearing masks.
Yes.
Do you know that if you have a concealed weapon permit,
yes,
that you're not allowed to wear a mask.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I did not know that. That's interesting.
Imagine that.
So I guess if you don't want to wear a mask, then go get yourself a concealed weapon.
And they
got
to go into a place.
Yeah.
That, you know, and then they say, "Wait a minute. My permit for this says I can't wear a mask." But they're telling me I have to.
Well,
how are you going to deal with that?
Pastor James, that explains a lot of the phone calls that came in during the Pinellas County Commission meeting from callers against the face mask. Mandatory face masks.
Oh, because they were all concealed weapons carriers?
You talking gun owners?
Yes. I mean, to me, that's enlightening. Because I was amazed by the number of callers who kept going on and on about mandatory face masks were infringing on their rights as a citizen. That makes it much more clear to me about those people who were calling in.
Those people.
What are you trying to say now?
I'm just trying to say that I did not understand.
That's not a racist thing. I know that's not. You're talking about gun owners and people like that.
When
you say those people, I know you're not talking.
I didn't understand why people were so angry with their phone calls about requiring masks in public.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that if they have the concealed weapons permit and they were stopped by somebody and said, "Hey, you don't have a mask on," all they'd have to do is show them their permit and say, "It's not legal for me to wear one."
Well,
you get a pass.
But they chose.
I will tell you another thing that I just experienced.
Okay.
Today.
Yes.
Okay. I went to Publix. It don't matter what Publix I went to.
There are thousands.
If you want an exact location, I'll tell you. Just ask me. But anyway, when I pulled into the parking lot, I put my mask on, knowing I was going to go in there and everything, and there was a
car.
Right out there.
A car, yeah.
Right outside there. The sheriff was not in the car, but the car was there. And I'm thinking that this sheriff is probably looking for offenders.
Okay.
Now, I would think at this point, to warn them, am I correct? Or are they ready to, like, nail you with $100 and some fine?
Well, my thing is, how serious about it do they want to be? If they're truly serious about everybody wearing a mask and that it's mandatory, then I think that they need to fine them. If they want to be cool about it, they're going to be like, "Hey, look, you know, as of, you know, 5 o'clock yesterday evening, it's mandated that you wear a mask. This is your warning."
Right. Yeah.
And so while I was in the Publix, doing my thing, getting a few things that I needed, and I saw a man coming without a mask, and he put his T-shirt over his face.
Yes.
Because I think that he saw, they all have signs out there right now, like there's signs saying, "Don't come in here if you don't have a face mask."
Well, they shouldn't even let you in the store if you don't have one.
So my point is, to the gentleman, who I don't know him, maybe he's not even a gentleman. Maybe he's a bad guy. I don't know. And that bothers me, too, when they call, like, nice people gentlemen. Oh, boy, that bothers me a lot. But anyway, that gentleman, they say, kill those three people. No, he ain't no. So anyway, you get my drift.
Yeah.
So. The sheriff's out there looking. I'm thinking maybe they want to write some tickets. It's probably good for them. Let off that whole thing, okay? Because I'm just like letting you know that there's a whole nother world about face masks and everything. And your idea about having the clear ones.
Yes. That was Craig's idea.
I already put like a patent in there, so people forget
beat us to the point.
Day late, the dollar
that
short.
You were talking about it, I typed in a patent, so you guys are out. Forget it. Goodbye.
All right.
I get to anyway, keep my fascinators, though, right?
When you think of preachers beside Billy Graham, who was the best?
Oh, Pastor James?
No, I'm talking about guys that been in the past.
Oh, you're talking. Oh, what was the other? Jimmy Swagger.
See, right away you go to white guys.
Oh, you were hoping for a
Martin Luther King.
Martin Luther King, yes, absolutely.
Okay, you see how long that took?
Oh, what about
that whole thing?
What about Jesse Jackson?
That whole thing?
What about the Rev Al Sharpton?
He's still relevant.
No. Right? I wouldn't consider him one of the greatest.
See, why not?
There's something wrong with him. And I'll tell you a little bit later after we talk about all this other stuff. But you can't say that Martin Luther King wasn't a great preacher.
Well,
considered, like I say, next to Billy Graham and a couple others, he's probably considered one of the greatest. Am I right?
Well, I mean, look. Was he a good orator? Yes. Was he walking the walk and talking the talk? I don't know. I didn't know him.
Everybody's got problems.
But
nobody's,
I mean, look, a lot of people can be confused as being somebody great just because they're a good orator. You know what I mean? Bill Clinton was a great orator. Didn't make him the best president in the world, you know?
Well, you supposedly, Marco Radio is a great orator, too. But
I would never go that far. I would never go that far.
All right. I'm trying to make a point here.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Be patient with me here.
All right.
I've been kind to you. I love your radio show. I call in. I say all this stuff. Just be patient. Who is the best basketball player ever?
Spud Webb.
Had a hell of a vertical.
Yes, he did.
My favorite basketball player of all time is either Dr. J.
Yes.
Or it's really a tie. You could throw
it don't matter.
Bill Russell
who
in there.
Your favorite
Wilt
is my
Chamberlain.
Friend. Who do you think has the stats for being the best?
Probably Wilt Chamberlain.
No.
Michael
no.
Jordan.
Oh, come on. That's only because I know, Pastor James, that you're from Chicago. You're biased.
Yeah, but Michael Jordan was
all right.
Amazing
I'm
going to
throw you another one. Who's the best boxer?
I know you're going to say Muhammad Ali, but I'm going to come right out and say Mike Tyson. There's nobody more brutal than him.
Okay, more brutal. But who had the best record and is considered the greatest?
Well, that's a title.
What about Joe Lewis? He was pretty good, too.
And Joe Lewis, yeah. But my whole point is
Marvelous
I think
Marvin
you're,
Hagler.
You're going to get like to a point where you're going to see what I'm talking about.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
You look down the road with all the things that our society, American society, looks at. And worships and looks at like it's a big, great deal.
Yes.
All right, let's go back to music. Aside from those European guys like Johann Sebastian Bach and Beethoven, I'm saying the modern society.
Okay.
Who are the best musicians? Quincy Jones.
Oh.
Don't tell me that you don't like Quincy Jones. If you do, then you don't like Michael Jackson. And you don't like a lot of others, people. And whether you like them or not is not the problem. The problem is that in the minds of most people, they don't realize that black people,
yes,
have a special thing for the arts, for athletics, and a lot of things. That and who was president? He was only half. Obama.
Okay.
So, if...
Do you know what I'm trying to say here?
Yes.
Like, y'all, like, all those people that are out here, try and put down the blacks and try and do all this. Like,
no, we're
and
not.
They make it look like that poor guy. That,
wait, No,
I'm saying that people, white people, are putting down. Yet, those are the heroes of our society.
We have all kinds of heroes.
In athletics, and you go on a go, and who developed the peanut so you can have peanut butter?
All right, look, we need to move
George Washington Carver.
Yes. All right, Pastor James, we need to move along.
Yes.
Go ahead. But you get my drift, right?
Yeah, we do.
I understand. I mean, I look at it this way, you know, our human history has led us to unfortunately label people by the color of their skin.
Yes.
Right? But if you take the race out of it, there's amazing people that have done amazing things in sports, arts, and music. And, you know, Pastor, you could make arguments that, yes, people of color have been instrumental and amazing in all those areas, but you can make the same case for, you know, other ethnicity, you know, ethnic background people out there, you know.
And women.
Yeah, right.
Completely.
That's what we're not talking about.
I definitely get the point you're making.
I understand. I agree with you 100%, Craig. I understand what you're saying.
So women don't count?
There's so many white people that, like, can't stand black people, and they don't realize that so much of what their culture's like and everything should be like. They should look at that.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. All right. We need to go.
All right. Go ahead.
This is a good conversation, though. I mean, you got to think about some of that. I mean, there's a lot of things that people just don't know the source of, right?
Right.
And it comes from multiple areas, sure. Whether it's black, white, it doesn't matter, right? But, you know, which plays into a lot of these stories about Aunt Jemima. You know, people are just like, oh, this has got to be racist. Let's change this. And here you are getting a message from the family that, you know, what are you doing? You know, this is, you're really.
This is part of our history.
Exactly. Right.
You didn't ask us. We played a part in this.
That's one of the
things. And our woman of the family.
Right.
Played a part in this.
Right.
Which Pastor James refused to acknowledge women. That's what I have a problem with.
Well, you know.
Men refusing to acknowledge even women.
Right. Yeah, I get that.
Well, but if we built on kind of his sports thing, let's talk about tennis for a minute, like women's tennis. Ah. In the last 20 years, or 15 years, there's a couple of names that you think of, right, that have really dominated women's tennis, you know?
Unbelievably.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, the Williams sisters are just on a different level.
Yes. Absolutely.
On a completely different level. And I attest some of that to, you know, their father. You know, you see that all the work he did with those girls. Yeah. I mean, amazing. But countless stories of different athletes and different people in different professions. It doesn't really matter what color. But, you know, that goes to show that if you put the effort and have the desire to achieve goals, that you can really, you know, achieve what you really set out to do.
Well, no
some
matter,
people
absolutely.
Are more successful no matter
race,
at it, but
no matter race or gender, it's the same thing. It's everybody's got, you know, I would like to think that everybody's got the same opportunities. I know that's not always the case.
And you know, but, you also got to think like in boxing, like Julio Cesar Chavez, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, gosh, he had like 90-something wins before he had his first loss or something like that, right? Of course, a lot of that might have been some subpar talent in Mexico, but, man, that's another amazing fighter, right? I mean, valid points for sure. And there's, you know, amazing athletes and musicians. And, you know, like I'm a big reggae music guy, you know, and it wasn't for a lot of the things that came out of Jamaica, you know, which is definitely created by black people, Right. You know, wouldn't have a lot of this, but a lot of it was inspired by, you know, a lot of music contribution by all walks of life over the history of our race, you know, so, yeah. And I'm saying the human race, not
the human race,
any particular color, right?
Right. And that it's easier to love than hate. It's easier to accept than judge.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know if you've seen that interview with Morgan Freeman, and they're talking to him about racism. And he's like, you know, until we can sit here and have a conversation where you don't think of me as a black man,
right,
and I don't think of you as a white man,
yeah,
that's when we're making progress on racism.
Exactly.
I'm just a man.
Right.
Or you're just a woman. Right.
Right.
And that's how it should be.
That is how it should be.
I'm a human being.
We'll never get to
and
that.
And you're a human being.
Yep.
Yeah. You're a man, I'm a woman, but that shouldn't even be part of the conversation.
Right.
Yeah, the color of your skin should have nothing to do with anything.
Nor your gender.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's interesting that when you see any kind of depiction of like the future in like movies, that kind of thing, that race and gender
don't exist.
They don't play a part. Everybody's just human.
And I think
that... that's certainly something for us to strive for, you know. Will that ever happen? I don't know.
But that's why I am one of those controversial people that will not pick Star Trek over Star Wars. Because they both did that.
Yeah.
And to me,
I want a Wookiee.
That's the message.
Right.
That
should be the message. I mean, can you imagine if we started out that
message.
Way? Can you? How much farther along in our society would we be if that's the way we started?
A billion times forward.
I mean, go to Mars. We've done that. You know, we're looking for the next frontier by now, you know?
Right.
Mars. That's a
Mars.
Neighbor.
You know. Yeah, well, we have people living there.
Yeah.
I mean, we could create.
That's a very interesting concept. And you know, just like I said, when you watch anything that depicts the future, there's no deterrence on race or gender or anything. Everybody's equal.
Planet of the Apes.
Well, that's different. Those are apes. I rewatched that the other day.
We did.
The old ones or the newer ones?
The new one.
It was the new one. Yeah. Anyway, we should take another break.
Yes.
And then we come back, then we'll get into our last half hour and we'll wrap up the show. All right, everybody. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSaintPete.com. Not too late to call, 727-498-0502. I want to thank Pastor James for calling. And call went a little long, but it did. It brought up some conversation.
Yes, it did.
So anyway, some thought and some conversation. Anyway, this song that I'm going to play is "The World Is in a Tangle."
Yes, it is.
And it's by an artist called Jontavious Willis. I hope you dig it. We'll be right back.
Foreign land and make it my home. Let me hear that mandolin a while. We're living, but we have to get it when we die. The world's in a tangle. Oh, what's going on? I'm gonna go to a foreign land, make it my home. Mr. Banjo Man.
Everybody, that was John Tavius Willis. The world is in a tangle.
Yes,
I have to agree.
Yeah, I would agree.
Let's see. Some time ago, before I think our big hour break, I kind of teased a story that I wanted to talk about, and I asked people here in the studio, what was your worst school project?
Mm.
I mean, do you remember one that was just outrageous?
I don't either.
I didn't like any of them.
Me either.
I was not a good student. For me, school was a social event. I'm lucky I made it out alive.
I remember mine. Oh. It wasn't really a project.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in middle school,
right.
Every year, like the last couple of days of school was like this big Olympics event, right?
Okay.
And stupid me wanted to do one of the events. The one I wanted to do was like the 100-yard dash,
okay,
right?
Right.
Out there, overdone, you're done, right?
Yeah.
But there were so many people that went for that, it's just I didn't get that. So I wanted to do something, so dumbass me signs up for the cross country.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah, no. Yeah. So I go out there to practice. We have practice, and you got to run around the soccer field like 50 times.
1,000 times,
yeah.
Right?
I'm like, whatever, right? So like race day comes around. We're having the Olympics and everything. It was at a big park, and there was like a little football field with a track. But then, you know, instead of just going around that 10 times or whatever it be, you leave the track, and then you kind of run through the park. You're off out of people's distance, and you come back around, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm there, you know, and I'm hauling ass to begin with around the track because everybody can see me, right? And I'm up there towards the front of the pack. As soon as we got out of distance, man, I just stop. I'm about to die, right?
Sure.
And I just start. I think I walked about and almost until you could come back into sight. Then I started running again.
Yeah.
I was happy with like 10th or 12th place that I got, but I wasn't last. You know, some other poor sucker that decided to be as stupid as I was.
Also got suckered into the cross country
event.
And
you know, you always know the end of school is like in June, right?
Yeah.
I grew up in Georgia and it's just as hot there as it is here.
Sure,
so yeah,
right?
Not a smart move. Not really a project, but yeah, that really sucked bad, man.
Mm-hmm.
As close as I can get to it.
Well, you think about different projects, okay, like an economics class or an American government class, that kind of thing. And then also think about kids now, they lost the whole last part of their school year, right?
Right.
So these kids at this particular school, it was a St. Paul's Catholic school in Leicester, they were given a homework assignment while they were on quarantine. And it was basically to plan their own funeral.
Which is not a bad assignment.
When I first heard the story, I was like, how terrible is that? But then you think about it, because it's not planned to die. But what would happen if, to me, it's looking out for what might happen in the future. It's no different than buying life insurance.
Right.
It's no different than going to the funeral parlor and making sure that you have a headstone or a casket and all that.
Whatever
lined
final
up for when
arrangements.
You do die. You know, yeah,
that you want.
It might seem a little morbid for a kid. These are eighth graders, so I was 13 when I was in eighth grade. I don't think that's too young to deal with this whole topic. But there were a lot of parents that were up in arms about it. It's like, how dare you?
Well, it's reality.
Yeah. I mean, but they had to do things like, okay, pick out and price your own casket, pick out and price your own flower arrangements, pick out and price your own headstone. If there's going to be any music at your funeral or celebration, that kind of thing. So it was like basically planning your own, not only just celebration of life, but the whole deal.
I don't have a problem with that.
I mean, what if I would like to think that if I was a kid, I would get a kick out of that. I mean, look, they could have said, you know, do something else that would have been, you know, maybe just as fun or different. But to plan your own funeral,
what,
I mean, that
what
to me,
grade was this?
They were eighth graders.
Yeah,
eighth grade.
13. I guess. Well, you know, if you're in like fifth grade or fourth grade,
right,
that'd be a really hard task to complete because you just can't even really.
Right.
Think about that. Yeah.
No,
right.
But
I think eighth grade, you can start to see that, you know, you're going to get old and all that kind of stuff. So.
And the other thing about eighth graders is I think about eighth grade is when you think you're invincible and that you won't die. You can do anything you want to do.
I think.
And get away with it.
I think a lot of these parents were upset because of the timing of this particular project because they were at home because of the pandemic. So it was almost like, are they telling our kids that they better start planning for their funeral because more than likely they're going to die from this pandemic?
That's mollycoddling again. Right. I'm sorry.
I don't know.
All I know is like when I bite the big one.
Yeah.
I hope that I have an event like last Saturday.
Yeah, that was very cool.
I mean, what a great way.
Our buddy JD Rogers, right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I don't want anybody sad. I want everybody to get together, have a good time, and enjoy some libations, enjoy some stories,
video messages.
Yeah. Those videos
I
kind of
want like bowls with my face on it that people are eating dips and chip. And
so like when you get down to the bottom of the dip, it's like
I'm
your face.
I'm smiling at you.
Yeah.
I love it.
You better have some good dip. Or nobody's ever going to see you.
Or small bowls.
Terrible. Yeah.
No, but I honestly don't. I don't feel that's an inappropriate project.
I don't think so either. I think it's good.
Well, but they also need to teach, like, how to survive while you're living economically, which they don't do.
In any kind of economic class, I think that's a very creative way to get kids thinking. It's inevitable.
It is inevitable.
I mean, you don't necessarily have to plan for your own funeral if you're responsible and you get to an age where, okay, look, I'm now in my 50s, 60s, whatever. Do I want to put this on my kids or should I start planning for it myself? You know what I mean? And if you've already done this as a 13-year-old, at least you have a jumping off point where it's like, hey, I did this when I was in eighth grade. So I kind of
when
know.
I just knew everything.
Yeah.
I was brilliant at that age.
Well, there you go.
Right. If I had set my plans then.
What if you could record your own hologram message that's played at your funeral, everybody?
Oh.
That would be kind of cool.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think we've all seen that in some sort of a movie or something like that where everybody gets together and there's the video of the guy and he's like, well, you're all here today because
you're
I have passed away.
bit it.
And he goes, and you, Cousin Johnny, I always thought you were a dick. You know what I mean? And to my wife, I know you've been screwing the pool boy. And they go through the whole thing, you know. And he just, you know, points out everybody's faults. And then he goes, and guess what? I didn't leave you all nothing except for this video. And I made you all a copy. I don't know. Yeah, it's cool.
Well, I don't think I want to be quite that venomous in my parting.
That could be fun, though.
In my parting message.
Cousin Johnny, you're a dick.
You get all of my underwear.
Used. And socks.
Unwashed.
Yeah. You get to do the laundry I left in the basket. If there's any change in the pocket, keep it. It's
there,
yours.
There won't be.
There won't be. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, evil.
It's terrible.
Yeah. Craig, are you a binge watcher at all?
I didn't used to be, but through the pandemic, I have turned into a bit of one. Yes.
Okay. Did you ever, I mean, it seems like at the time, and this has been, you know, a couple years ago, but Steph and I have revisited, but Making a Murderer, did you ever watch that one?
I have seen some of that.
Okay. So Steph and I have probably seen it at least three times. This
it's
is probably
pretty,
the fourth
intense.
Time. Well, here's the thing. Go ahead. What are you going to say?
I was
going
to
throw me under the bus.
No, I was going to say four, and this might be five.
For you, I have a hard time staying up to watch a full episode of anything. But
well, I want to let you guys know I took your advice from the show last week, and I started watching, or 2 weeks ago, and started watching Hell on Wheels.
Okay. Oh. Yeah.
Man, I'm sucked in.
It's a great show.
Oh, yeah, I'm still season one. I think I'm episode getting ready to start episode eight, but yeah.
It's a
really,
really good show.
Really, really, really like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's yeah. a really good show. But this Making a Murderer, now this is like our fourth or fifth time watching it. I have gone back and forth on whether or not Stephen Avery was guilty of murdering Teresa Halbach, right? Well, I think watching it so far this time, I'm convinced he was framed.
Yeah.
There are things, it's like every time I watch it, I pick up on something else. And what I'm doing now.
I haven't seen it as many times as you have, and I was for sure he did it.
Okay, well, see.
Really?
I did watch it one time, and I was convinced that he did it too.
Yeah.
But that, okay, so now that I've seen it so many times, now what I'm doing is I'm looking at all of the players, okay? Because they're the actual people. I'm looking at all the players, and I'm watching their body language, and I'm watching the expressions on their faces, and I'm listening to the way they say certain things, and it's like, and you can almost see them looking at each other and giving it like a wink, wink, you know what I'm saying? And then what about the only blood drop that they found of his, okay? Then they find his blood sample that was unsealed and had a needle hole in the top. They only found one blood droplet of his. They planted that blood for sure. I don't know. I think he did it. I know. No, I'm sorry. I think he didn't do it. I think he was framed. Never mind. I just blew the whole thing. He didn't do it in my mind.
Well, I should be taking notes this time because every time I watch it, I say the next time I'm going to watch it, I'm going to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't. Shame on me.
Right. Did
but I see things and it's like, ooh,
yeah.
That.
You have
that,
to watch. You have
what
to watch.
About that?
You really have
what
to watch
that?
Everybody's.
What about that?
You really have to really watch everybody's mannerisms and things like that because that's a whole different story. That's a whole different story within the story. Now, did you see the movie Ford versus Ferrari?
No.
Okay, so that was a movie that came out more than a year ago, but we didn't go see it in the theater. It's just now coming out on HBO, so we watched it the other night. It's a watchable movie. right? It's interesting. It's, you know, it's Carroll Shelby, you know, the Shelby GT, that kind of thing. Yep. He, you know, builds this race car to go against Enzo Ferrari for the Le Mans race, you know, that kind of thing. And they end up winning the race. So it's that whole story. I think the more interesting story is that Steph's cousin, Gary Patterson, a lifelong motorhead.
Lifelong motorhead.
Grew up loving cars his entire life, okay? You know what his position now is? He is the head man of Shelby Automotive. He is the
Shelby
dude.
American.
Shelby American. He's the head guy from Ohio. This kid who loved cars, loved working on cars his whole life. Her cousin is now the head of Shelby.
I remember.
That's amazing.
I remember
Can we
him.
Get some Shelbys over here?
No. I remember him.
Have a special inn.
I remember him though, like being 15 to 18 years old. And rebuilding a car. I mean, that was his
life.
That's
taking shop class at school to the whole next level at a young age.
Totally different level.
Hmm. How old is he?
He's probably
60.
Yeah, like 60.
So the amazing thing about that is he learned before there's internet and all that kind of stuff. It's not like he could watch the Google.
Right.
He can go on YouTube and watch a how-to video or look up the manual, you know. He had to learn.
But it's one of those situations.
He had to order the manual and get it and read it and do it.
It's one of those stories that you love to hear. Somebody so passionate with such a love for something that can actually get paid to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a dream that is for him? Yeah, unbelievable. Anyway,
I'm sure his day at work is not like he's going to work. It's just.
Oh, he goes to work.
But it's not a job, right? It's a.
Oh no! It's a passion. Yeah. It's a passion that he lives.
Yeah.
You're never in the car with him. Unless he's going 110.
No, I always wanted a job where it just didn't seem like it was work. My dad said one of those jobs might be like the nipple chiller at the strip club.
Yeah.
You just stand on the stage with a little ice cube. That's your job, right? Pretty stress-free. Hey,
okay, if it pays the bills.
So by saying that, does that mean that you're bored at work?
I'm not bored at work, no. I'm quite busy.
Okay. Could you imagine ever being so bored at work that you would sue your employer because you were so bored?
Man, that's a good idea.
Well, I got this story here. It says, a Frenchman has successfully sued his former employer for giving him such boring work, he grew to be depressed. Frederick Desnard worked for 4 years at the French perfumery, performing mostly menial tasks. He sued for $450,000, claiming that the utter lack of stimulation was a descent into hell. Okay. That left him feeling destroyed and ashamed. The Paris Court of Appeal agreed that he had been subject to this boredom, but they only awarded him $45,000.
I could not stand the smell of this perfume anymore. It is driving me wacko, and I'm so bored right now.
Oh, bye,
Pepe Le Pew.
Yeah. Says,
Estee La Toilet.
Awarding him $45,000 and ruling he'd suffered a bored out.
Bored out.
A novel workout condition that is the opposite of burnout. I was ashamed to be paid to do nothing.
He should work for the DMV.
Yeah, he should. Mm-hmm.
Pick an agency.
DOT, whatever acronym you want to use.
Here's another quick little story.
And get paid for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
It's always one guy digging in the dirt and like 12 guys standing around looking
exactly.
at him.
Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's another story. And I don't know if you've ever seen like documentaries about prison systems around the world.
Oh, yeah.
There's some that are just brutal, but then there's other ones that are like Germany. We saw this documentary where this guy was a murderer, but on the weekend, He gets to leave the prison and go eat lunch in the park with his sister and his aunt. And then on the way back, stops it and gets an ice cream cone and lets himself into the prison. What?
Honor system.
He's a murderer.
That's what we're going to do once we abolish all the police, man.
That's the non-American way.
Here's a story about two convicts in Italy. All right. Two cousins broke out of prison the other day, and they left a note that said, "We'll be back in 15 days. We just got to go home and take care of a couple things. And then we're coming back." And, well, and the note said, "See you soon."
That was nice of them.
Yeah.
Did they come back?
Yeah, they did. So at that point,
wasn't it polite that they left a note?
Now, do you think the guards like sounded the alarms and all that? They were like, "Oh, now they're coming back." They left a note.
They said they'd be back.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and I think we need I think we need a little more of that in our country.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we see it in the police.
Right.
That of people will do the right thing.
Right.
They keep the police keep saying people will do the right thing.
Yeah, but all I'm going to say, there's a reason why they put instructions on shampoo bottles.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say about that.
What do you suppose the top three social behaviors that cause a shortened life are?
Smoking.
Smoking's number one.
Drinking.
Number two. What's number three?
Caffeine.
Social behaviors that can shorten your life. Top three. Smoking, number one. Drinking, number two. What's number three?
Dating apps.
No, but that's good. That's good.
Sex?
Nope. Getting divorced.
Oh.
Well, that's kind of like that.
The social behaviors that can shorten your life. Smoking, drinking, and getting divorced.
Well, I've done all of those. So I guess I'm probably going to die later today or something.
Oh, God, don't say that.
I've done none of them. I should live forever. No. No. Anyway, we're down to it.
Yes. I think IQ plays in that, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
Let me do my quotes. The first one says, "I bet aliens ride past Earth and lock their doors." I like this one. Says, "Not knowing stuff is the single greatest factor causing ignorance."
Yes.
The next one says, "I want to move somewhere where there ain't no dummies." And that was from Red Fox. Mm-hmm. I like this one too. They say Donnie's going to run again in November. If I catch him in my neighborhood, he'll run again today.
Oh, no.
And the last one says, they say time heals all wounds, but we never live long enough to test that theory. So yes. Those are my quotes. Anyway, that's it, folks. We're the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. Steph, do you have anything that you want to add here at the end of the show?
Thanks, Greg, for coming in again.
Yeah, Craig, really, thank you.
Braving the storm.
It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we're keeping the herbal remedy string alive.
We are. And it's a lot of fun. Steph and I have done a lot of shows when it's just been the two of us, and it's fine, but it's always fun having another voice.
So absolutely.
It's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, and thank you. I mean,
Thank you.
9 weeks ago or something was the first time.
Yeah, right.
That JD and I came on here, and that's the first time I met you guys. And now, I mean, it's like
we're
family.
Like family now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I'll be out of town next Friday, but I'm going to use the phone number. I'm going to be a caller next week.
Please do.
Yeah.
Please do. Yep. Do that. All right. So I guess what I will say because we're down to it is, we are the Marco Radio Happy Hour Show. We come to you every Friday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. right here on RadioSt.Pete.com. We love speaking to you every Friday evening and look forward to speaking to you again next week. Semper Fi, Devil Dogs, and I miss you, Mom. Oh, and good night, Duchess. Anything else? All right, everybody, enjoy your weekend. Be safe. And dig this song I always have. Talk to you next week.
My pappy said, "Son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln." Have you heard? heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's. Got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel carb and a dual exhaust, with 4 living gears you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars was shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still. Sudden, in a wink of an eye, a Cadillac sedan passed us by and said, boys, it's a mark for me. By then, the taillight was all you could see. Now, the fellas had ribbed me for being behind, so I thought I'd make the Lincoln unwind. Took my foot off the gas, and man alive, I shoved it on down into overdrive. Wound it up to 110, my speedometer said that I hit top end. My foot was glued like lead to the floor, that's all there is, and there ain't no more. Now the boys all thought, lost my sense, and telephone poles looked like a picket fence. They said, slow down, I see spots, the lines on the road just look like dots. Took a corner, sideswiped the truck, crossed my fingers just for luck. My fenders was clicking the guardrail post, the guy beside me was white as a ghost. Smoke was coming from out of the back when I started to gain on that Cadillac. Knew I could catch him, I thought I could pass. Don't you know by then we'd be low on gas. We had flames coming from out of the side. Feel the tension, man, what a ride. I said, look out, boys, I got a license to fly. And that caddy pulled over and let us by. Now all of a sudden she started knocking him down. And the dip she started to rock. And I looked in the mirror, red light was blinking. The cops was after my hot rod Lincoln. They arrested me and they put me in jail and they called my pappy to throw my bail. And he said, son, you're gonna drive me to drinking if you don't stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.